This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Democratic presidential contenders attacked George W. Bush's policies with gusto Thursday night in the final debate before the New Hampshire primary, each one claiming the credentials needed to lead the party back into the White House. "I look forward to that fight," said Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, whose victory in this week's Iowa caucuses has vaulted him into first place in the polls in the nation's first primary state as well. In a debate far more polite than earlier encounters, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean trumpeted his record as a state budget balancer, while Joe Lieberman said Bush had recently identified him in a private conversation as the Democrat he was most worried about. Senator John Edwards recounted how he defeated a Republican incumbent to win his seat in 1998, and retired General Wesley Clark strongly defended his Democratic credentials. Representative Dennis Kucinich and Al Sharpton also raided spots on the debate stage at St. Anselm College, but the stage held two less candidates due to the departure of Carol Mosley Braun and Representative Dick Gephardt. Members of Congress and 10 ex-CIA officials are seeking a broader inquiry into the leak of an undercover officer's name, aiming to determine if U.S. national security was compromised and to discourage future leaks. In addition, a leading Democratic critic of the Justice Department investigation into the matter says the Bush administration should release details of the probe to show the public whether officials are cooperating as George W. Bush promised. Bill Janklow, a Republican who dominated South Dakota politics for three decades as governor and then congressman, was sentenced to 100 days in jail Thursday for a car crash that killed a motorcyclist and ended Janklow's career in disgrace. After 30 days behind bars, Janklow will be allowed to leave jail during the day for up to 10 hours to perform community service. After he completes his jail term, he will be on probation for 3 years, during which he will not be allowed to drive. A military helicopter crashed Thursday at Camp Pendleton north of San Diego, killing 3 of the 4 people aboard. The UH-1 Huey crashed about 7 p.m. during a training mission. 4 people were aboard the cargo-type aircraft, including the pilot. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Megan Whitaker of Menasha, Wisconsin, was arrested Sunday and accused of holding up the local Q-Mart convenience store. Cops say she brandished the toy gun and forced the clerk to open the register. Identification was easy. Whitaker was a regular customer and had recently applied for a job at the store. Whitaker realized during the robbery that the clerk knew her, so she told the clerk she was her own twin sister. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What hue are you? Red is out. Red is so yesterday. Blue is in. If you're not sporting blue, you're simply not cool. Just when you thought that surely American politics could not become more trivial, more devoid of substance, more removed from anything that matters, along comes a gaggle of political consultants and fashion mavens to take us deeper into the void. The issue here is ties. Not political ties, but the ties that politicians wear around their necks. Yes, we're talking about strips of cloth, preferably silk. Perhaps you thought that a candidate's principles or character or stand on issue should be the important thing in politics, but that just shows how out of it you are. The issue is neckwear. Not very long ago, all of the power players strutted their stuff with bold red ties. Power ties, they were called, for, like a rooster's coxcomb, they supposedly conveyed to us riffraff that the wearer thereof was a man in charge and on the move. But now, red has faded, and the trend spotters have decreed that blue is the new hue of your elite male strutters. George W. has helped lead the way on this important matter. Other political figures have been wearing navy blue ties, but Bush has broken the mold and broken out in lighter, brighter hues, ranging from periwinkle to baby blue. Following his daring leadership, you now see Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Gore, Tony Blair, and so many more politicos imitating our periwinkle president in their choice of ties. Why? The consultants say that we riffraff aren't seeking boldness these days, but security. Hence, blue. A color consultant says, the human mind connects blue with elements of nature that never go away, the sky and sea. It's the color that invokes feelings of loyalty, steadfastness, constance. This is Jim Hightower saying, so forget issues, principles, and all that stuff. Just keep your eyes on the tides.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, have they nailed him? This, in the United Press International, the Reverend Moon's news organization, along with the Washington Times. Anyhow, UPI, which still has some modicum of credibility, reports that Germany's Die Welt newspaper reported, and Die Welt actually has a lot of credibility. It's Die Welt is like the New York Times of Germany. Die Welt has reported that Osama bin Laden has been captured. Now, keep in mind, the Kurds are claiming that they had captured Saddam months before they released him. And they had negotiated this release, and they handed him over to the U.S. in exchange for concessions. And this whole, you know, the Kurdish leaders have made all these claims, which have been reported in newspapers all over the world, except in the United States, although it's been on a lot of news sites on the Internet. Well, anyhow, here it is. The newspaper on its website cited unconfirmed reports as the basis for its report. But is Osama bin Laden in custody? And if so, will he be held and let his beard grow and be drugged up in a hole in the ground for, what, 6 months? Let's see, what would take us up to October? 8 months? Yes, just in time for an October surprise. The article says, Bin Laden is a Saudi dissident blamed for the September 11 attacks. He was believed to be hiding along the Afghan-Pakistan border. Time will tell. No doubt. But the word is out in the international community that Osama is in the bag. Anyhow, welcome to the program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations. We're going to have a new station joining us on Monday, in fact, a station in Las Vegas. I'll let you know about that on Monday. And also broadcasting live on the Sirius satellite, Stream 143, Sirius satellite radio system, now standard equipment in Chrysler, Ford, Jeep, Mercedes, Volvo, Volkswagen, a whole long list of cars and trucks, and streaming live on the Internet across the planet with listeners on a daily basis in over 100 countries on radiopower.org, a listener-supported site worthy of your support, live365.com, a subscription site, and this network's site, ieamericaradio.com. Anyhow, here, a conservative alert. Well, before I get to that, with Osama, today is day 853 in the search for Osama bin Laden. And apparently they have, well, Apparently, maybe, they have found him. It's day 832 in the search for the guy who coincidentally sent anthrax, or the guy who sent anthrax coincidentally to the two senators who were in a position to stop the Patriot Act when it was being considered. Tom Daschle, who at that time led the Senate Democrats, and Pat Leahy, who at the time led the Senate Judiciary Committee, bumped them out of their offices, scrambled their work, created widespread panic. Day 832 in the search for the anthrax killer. How's that search going, by the way, John? Well, we're not much worried about that these days now. Day 246 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. And day 192 in the search for the traitor in the White House who committed treason. The senior administration official who outed not just a CIA agent, but an entire CIA multi-nation operation brought the whole thing down. May have led to the death of people, certainly compromised CIA agents in the field, particularly Valerie Plame, but all those associated with her. And, of course, George Bush's response to this.
And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. So, our conservative alert for the day, by the way, this is fascinating. Apparently, actually, this guy has been on the right-wing talk shows being lauded as a hero. 17-year-old high school junior Tim Buehler. Yep, he founded the conservative club at his school, and he has announced the creation of a conservative hotline where students can report examples of un-American comments by their teachers. His flyer, which he passed out, said, "Let's take a stand against the liberal traitors who call themselves teachers." Oh, heavens forbid, they may teach American history. He goes on to say, liberals welcome every Mohammed, Jamel, and Jose who wishes to leave his third world state and come to America mostly illegally to rip off our health care system, balkanize our language, and destroy our political system. Yes, Tim, it's those third world Mohammeds, Emmanuels, and Jose's who are screwing up our health care system. It's not the multimillionaire CEOs of the drug companies who are bribing congressmen and senators to write into the Medicaid bill that we can't negotiate prices with them like the Pentagon does. No, it's not them. No, it's not the conservatives who are maintaining a system where 40 million people are uninsured, and yet we're spending more money than would be necessary to insure all of those people to prop up the profits of the most profitable industry in America, averaging 17% annual profits, whereas the typical industry in America averages 3.1%. No, it's the Mohammeds, the Jamels, and the Jose's. Yes, and they're trying to balkanize our language? They're destroying our political system. They have infiltrated it. They're walking through the halls of Congress even as we speak. Extraordinary. Yeah, so our conservative alert for the day. Buehler's story has been featured on shows hosted by Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura Schlesinger, says Radio Inc., the industry publication. Which brings us to our other little bit of news for the day before we get into the topic of the hour, which is how to take back America, what's going on with the elections, what's going on with the Democratic primaries in particular. But Rush Limbaugh's in the news. We've got a Rush alert.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rap.
It is rap.
I'm horrendous. I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling. I'm so full of bull, so full of crap.
Full of crap.
With condescending tries, making money, selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts.
Hates his guts.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic, tough.
because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am,
because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative. But
and this is a guy who said, too many whites are getting away with drug use. Find the ones who are getting away with it, convict them, and send them up the river. Well, in today's... Yesterday's Sun Sentinel. Palm Beach County prosecutors rejected an overture last month from Rush Limbaugh's attorneys that would have allowed the conservative commentator to enter drug rehab rather than face charges. Prosecutors said they think they have evidence that Limbaugh committed at least 10 felonies. They offered to end the investigation if he'd plead guilty to one simple felony for doctor shopping and agree to 3 years of probation. And he turned it down. Prosecutors reviewed records from a pharmacy near Limbaugh's $24 million Palm Beach mansion, coupled with records associated with four search warrants served on his doctors. James Martz, the prosecutor looking into this thing, said those records, quote, indicate evidence that would support an excess of 10 felony counts for violations punishable by up to 5 years in prison each. Our Rush Limbaugh alert for the day.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class.
I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Our Rush Limbaugh alert for the day. Very entertaining. Normally, I don't, you know, it's... If he was just to come out and say, drug addiction is a disease and not a crime, and that he was caught up in that disease and that he now understands that the roughly 50% of our prison population who are victims of that same disease should be treated by physicians rather than prison guards. At, by the way, a lower cost to you and me. You know, it costs about $50,000 to house a prisoner in the United States today, and it costs about $10,000 a year to provide them with drug rehab. But on an outpatient basis. And, number one, it makes they would become productive. They would be paying taxes instead of spending our tax dollars. I mean, most of the other countries in the world have figured this out. They've figured it out. But one of the major growth industries in the United States is private prisons. It is the largest single industry that is engaged in construction right now, building private prisons in the United States. It's hugely profitable. Marriott's in it in a big way. I forget the name of the other company. I think it's Prison Corporation of America or something, or Corrections Corporation of America, CCA. It's enormously profitable. And these private prison corporations are giving lots and lots of bucks to the politicians to keep these laws on the books. And then the other big profitable industry in the United States. I think I told you about this a few months ago. I was friends with a guy back in the 70s who, I still know him, but I mean, this was back in the 70s this happened. He was selling drug testing kits. And originally, he was selling them in head shops so that people could make sure that the drugs that they were buying were actually the drug, you know, the cocaine tests and pot tests, and they could find out how strong stuff was. And he started marketing these things to businesses and things so that you could test, you know, because if you can measure pot, you can measure urine looking for pot too. Started marketing them to businesses. His tests cost him about a dime. The reagents, the chemicals, about 10 cents. He was selling them for $25 a piece. And he was making money hand over fist. And then, you know, a couple of other companies, some of the pharmaceutical companies got in the act. People started lobbying Congress and saying, hey, you've got to allow this. Because back then, a lot of corporations thought this was an invasion of privacy. They wouldn't allow it. Congress got into the act. Everybody started doing drug testing. He's a multimillionaire now. This is a huge growth industry, selling these tests. You know, the 25, 35, 45, 50 bucks a whack for 5 cents, 10 cents worth of chemicals. It's a scam. The whole war on drugs. Yes, we have a critical problem in the United States, but has it been solved by the way we're handling it? No. And that's my problem with Rush Limbaugh, is that he's being a hypocrite. And if he wanted to drop his hypocrisy, I would salute him in a New York minute. The topic for the day that I want to get into right after this break, how to take back America. What can we do? How, what What is the strategy that the Democrats should be following? What's happening with Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich and John Kerry and all these guys? What's going on here, and what can we do about it? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
When Bill Clinton and Monica had their affair, sacred confessors popped out everywhere. They led our president through atonement prayers, and their prayers were answered. The White House is theirs. Sex and religion, it's sex and religion. That old-time religion should pack up and leave. Sex and religion, give me sex and religion.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman discussing solutions and not false promises. Okay, number one. Sometimes the news does come out. Okay, at the top of the hour, it's now 25 minutes after the hour. At the top of the hour, I reported that the UPI was reporting that DeVeld was reporting that Osama bin Laden had been captured. Here, now, is the source of the story. We just discovered this, right? I mean, we picked the thing up off UPI and took it at its face, said, who knows? And now here... this just published. This is news24.com, and Louis says it's also on BBC. That where this came from was that yesterday a TV station in Lebanon ran a broadcast in which they broke into the news, or it was part of their, you know, news. There's the CNN of Lebanon or whatever, the Lebanese Broadcasting Corporation. A journalist by the name of Bassan Abu Zaid said, quote, Bin Laden has been arrested in the attic of former Prime Minister Omar Karami in the northern city of Tripoli. Okay. And now this, of course, caused quite an uproar in Lebanon, because visiting Greek President Kostas Stephanopoulos was hanging out with Prime Minister Rafik Hariri, who is the current guy. And they were having this state dinner, and the word had just come out that bin Laden had been caught in the attic, right? The word lie appeared in the upper right angle of the screen instead of the word live. And most people missed the fact that there was a V missing from it. So perhaps Osama has not been captured, in fact, in all probability. Or if he has, it certainly wasn't for us to know about until October of 2004. Granny D., this extraordinary woman who walked across the United States to honor her 90th birthday and speak out in favor of campaign finance reform. Granny D said recently, in the 2004 presidential election, we must not split our vote between Greens and Democrats. I know the Greens have party building to do, but if Mr. Bush wins again, there will be no America for them to build their party in. So we must defer this time and earn our respect and admiration for doing so. So they must defer this time. And in that context, what's going on? What I find fascinating is that yesterday I asked the question, was Howard Dean's hollering Monday night his Ed Muskie moment? And, of course, I don't know the answer to that. And that was that's the question. Will he recover from it? Last night, I thought he did a marvelous job. He and Judy Dean on what's her name on the ABC News program, Diane Sawyer, and he comported himself well in the debates. The Zogby poll is out. This isn't for today though, but as of yesterday, Kerry had gained 3 more points. He's at 30%. Dean had lost 2 more points. He's at 22%. Clark had lost a point. He's at 14%. Edwards had lost a point. He's at 7%. And Lieberman is at 6%. Kucinich at 1%. Al Sharpton at 0.1%. But the undecided, and this was what flipped the whole thing in Iowa, the undecided is 17%. So there's still a lot of play. And I'm very curious to find out later today what the polls are going to show have happened with Howard Dean as a consequence of shades of Bill and Hillary after the Paula Jones thing, the redemption thing that he did last night with Diane Sawyer, which I thought was handled very elegantly. I thought they did a very good job. But why is it that we're just stuck with Democrats and Republicans in the United States? What can we do about that? And what must Democrats or people who are in the center and on the left, concerned about our republic, do? What must we do? We'll talk about that right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A tiny creature on the bottom of the Great Lakes is disappearing, and so are some of the fish that eat it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have noticed that a small shrimp-like organism on the bottom of the Great Lakes has been increasingly hard to find during the past 10 years. The consequences of that decline are starting to appear among the fish that eat the little critter. The creature is known as Diporia. Tom Nalepa says some fish in the Great Lakes are getting thinner and fewer because the numbers of Diporia have gotten so low.
When they're declining down to zero, I think that you can see where it would have some impact on the fish.
Nalepa is a research biologist with the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. He says Diporia are a high-calorie, high-energy food for fish, and he says some fish are suffering as this source of energy grows more scarce. He says some commercial fishermen report that whitefish in the Great Lakes look increasingly scrawny, and he says that appears to be hurting the overall numbers of fish in some places.
Populations are going down. In Lake Ontario, where the Diporia decline is much more advanced than in other places of the Great Lakes, such as in Lake Michigan or in Lake Huron, those whitefish populations are basically crashing down to zero. There's very little recruitment of new or young ones into population. So not only are we dealing with scrawnier fish, that the fish aren't there anymore.
Nalepa and his colleagues are not sure exactly why the Diporia are disappearing. Some people suspect it's connected to the invasion of the Great Lakes by zebra mussels. Zebra mussels eat a lot of the food that Diporia feed on, and that might be the reason the native Diporia is disappearing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Every time I look at you, I feel so low, I don't know what to do. Well, every day just feels to bring by the noon. Leaves me here with the first World War II.
Two blues that led to the Cold War. The Cold War ended, and the military-industrial complex and their buddies in Congress said, well, gee, we've got to have a new war if we're going to have all this money going to Raytheon and Boeing and Bechtel and Halliburton, and got to have a new war. Can't have a police action to hunt down a criminal. We've got to have a war on terror. Well, anyhow, on the 23rd of November, today's the 23rd of January, so this was sort of an anniversary, I suppose. Two months ago, And then back, I can't do the math fast enough, in 1787, the Constitution had been drafted and submitted to the states for ratification, and James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, and John Jay were doing a sales job. And James Madison did probably half of it, a little less than half of it. Alexander Hamilton did maybe a little more than half of it, and John Jay tossed in one or two pieces. And this was a series of some 50 or 60 articles that were published in newspapers all across the United States that came to be known as the Federalist Papers. And this one is from Federalist number 10, and the title of it is "The Same Subject Continued, The Union is a Safeguard Against Domestic Faction and Insurrection." I just want to share a couple pieces of this with you, and then we'll take a call here. "Complaints are everywhere heard," James Madison writes, "from our most considerate and virtuous citizens, equally the friends of public and private faith and of public and personal liberty, that our governments are too unstable, that the public good is disregarded in the conflicts of rival parties, and that measures are too often decided not according to the rules of justice and the rights of the minor party, but by the superior force of an interested and overbearing majority. However anxiously we may wish that these complaints had no foundation, the evidence of known facts will not permit us to deny that they are in some degree true." He goes on to say, "by a faction," this was a word that they used back before we had any political parties in the United States. You call them factions. "By a faction, I understand a number of citizens, whether amounting to a majority or a minority of the whole, who are united and actuated by some common impulse of passion or of interest, adverse to the rights of other citizens or to the permanent and aggregate interests of the community." In other words, a special interest group or a political party. "There are two methods of curing the mischiefs of faction, the one by removing the causes, the other by controlling its effects." And Madison then goes into a rather lengthy and didactic explanation of all this. And James Madison. Did I say John? No, it's James Madison. I know it is. He's my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's brother. The inference, to continue anyhow, the inference, I just got a note here on the screen that from Char, that says, "Bill says it's John Madison." And then, oh, never mind, disregard that. Okay. So, disregarded for the record. Thanks, Char. Thanks, Bill. Good try. But I got the paper in front of me here. "The inference to which we are brought is," says James Madison, "that the causes of faction cannot be removed and the relief is only to be sought in the means of controlling its effects." And then, you know, keep in mind, this is a sales pitch for the Constitution. He goes on to say, "the influence of factious leaders may kindle a flame within the particular states, but will be unable to spread a general conflagration through the other states." In other words, what he was saying was, even if factions break out in the states, it's not going to affect us nationally. Don't worry. We don't have to worry about political party. What they were addressing was the fact that with winner-take-all, first-past-the-post elections, we have a situation in the United States where somebody can get 49.9% of the vote in a two-person race. They can represent the will of half the people. And yet their voice becomes silenced. Zero. And it was a real problem. And the founders struggled with this, or the framers, the people who wrote the Constitution. They struggled with this, how to deal with it. And it wasn't until 1861, which was, what, some 90 years later, nearly, 80-some-odd years later, 70-some-odd years later, that John Stuart Mill put forth the proposal of proportional representation. And, you know, said, hey, there is a solution to this problem. It's called proportional representation. And it has been adopted by most of the democracies in the world. We don't have proportional representation in the United States. They don't have it in Canada. They don't have it in the United Kingdom. And they don't have it in Australia. They also don't have it in Greece. That's about it. Every place else, if a political party gets 20% of the vote, they have 20% of the seats in Parliament. But we don't have that here. So, and neither does Australia. And so what Australia did was they said, hey, we're going to go to instant runoff voting. And that was a good alternative. We haven't done that yet here either. So we have this situation now, this bizarre paradox, where whenever a third party comes along, it will harm the people with whom it's most closely aligned, which is the opposite of how a democratic system should work. Now, the obvious cure for this is instant runoff voting. We're not going to have that in the 2004 election. So what we have to do, in my opinion, is take Granny D's advice and band together. We need to do what the Republicans did after Goldwater was defeated in 1964, or what the conservatives did, rather. And they said, let's get together and take over the Republican Party. We're going to kick out these Nelson Rockefeller guys, these moderates, and we're going to take control of this party. And I think it's time for progressives to seriously consider taking control of the Democratic Party. They are a minority in the party right now. And Howard Dean and John Edwards certainly seem to be progressive. Dennis Kucinich, absolutely progressive. Al Sharpton, absolutely progressive. Although I was a little disappointed last night that he didn't know what the Federal Reserve does. But I frankly don't know about John Kerry. And Joe Lieberman is clearly not progressive. And so, you know, would I vote for Joe Lieberman? That's a tough one. Let's ask Jeff in Denver his thoughts on this. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to be on the program. 1-800-825-5937. Let me also remind you, our next hour is Brunch with Bernie. We're going to have Congressman Bernie Sanders on. I was with him in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. It's going to be an interesting conversation, and of course, we welcome your calls. Bernie loves it when people call in. So if you want to talk to a congressman, if you pick on him, ask him questions, make suggestions, whatever. He's here for us. And it's a marvelous thing that he is. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, hi, Tom. Did you say Denver? This is actually Jeff in Dallas.
Oh, hey, it's Jeff with Radio Left.
That's right.
Hey, Jeff Staples, great to hear your voice. How's
everything
going?
Yeah, and congratulations on. Are you moving to Sirius? Is that what you're doing?
No, we're already on Sirius.
Okay. I heard some kind of an announcement that had to do with IE America and you moving to a new venue.
Oh yeah, we're all waiting to find out what's going to happen, whether the network is going to be picked up or whether we're going to move. But you know, one way or another, the program will be intact, and there's a good chance the network is going to be intact. So it's just
great. Well, congratulations on that. But anyway, I believe that I have the solution to what you were just talking about.
Okay.
And now please remember that the Republicans started, or the ultra-right in the Republican Party started working in the 1960s to get to the point where they are now.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, actually, in the 1950s. I mean, in 53, Russell Kirk published The Conservative Mind, and in 50, I think 7 or 58, William F. Buckley started his publication. And that was really the beginning of the movement, you know. And Ayn Rand was very active back in the 50s, and the whole libertarian movement was spreading and was infecting the thought of the conservatives. And then I think it was in 60 or 59 or 60, John Stormer published None Dare Call It Treason,
right,
which became the galvanizing. I mean, we need something like that on the left. And maybe I've written it. We'll see. I have a book coming out on July 4th from Random House called A Return to Democracy, Reviving Jefferson's Dream. But we need something that says, hey, here's the problem. You know, we're in danger. Here's the problem. And here's what we can do about it.
That's right. But in any event, though, Marvin Liebman worked with Barry Goldwater on his campaign. And Marvin Liebman in 1964 is largely credited with the application of what you're talking about to the political realm. And but anyway, that's beside the point. My suggestion, if we're talking about the Greens as an example, is that what they need to do is they need to ally with the Democrats at the national level and become a special interest group within the Democratic Party at that level.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying all. And at the local level, build as much of a base as they possibly can without splitting tickets.
Exactly, because the thing about it, all the things we're talking about, whether it's instant runoff voting or cumulative voting like Lonnie Guinier advocated or whatever, those things are in fact being tried in local cities and counties and school boards and things like that.
Yep.
And the more of that gets done at the local level, that's the way to advance it to the state level and then ultimately to have it impact the federal electorate.
Yes,
and
absolutely, and I agree. And you know, this is the strategy that the Christian Coalition followed. It's a strategy that the NRA and their associates followed. I mean, it's, you know, let's infiltrate the Republican Party and have enough power that we can become the tail that wags the dog.
And I'm suggesting though that if the Greens do it at the local level, they may in fact even be able to run people, start them in nonpartisan races, and then eventually run them in partisan races as Greens.
Yeah, or as Democrats.
Or as Democrats, either way. But my point being that the election reform has to take place at the local level where it's accomplishable in progressive communities.
Yeah. See, I think that the Democratic Party still has enough power and vitality. I mean, after all, it is the oldest, longest-standing political party in the history of the world. It was founded by Thomas Jefferson. It has great roots, great ideals, and a lot of very good members to it right now. It's got the infrastructure. It's got cash. Rather than trying to reinvent the wheel, we're stuck right now until we get national IRV, instant runoff voting. We are stuck with a two-party system. And I think that the conservatives really had it figured out in the 60s and 70s when they said, we're going to take over, we're going to infiltrate and take over the Republican Party and have it dance to our tune. And I think that progressives must do that with the Democratic Party, because what's happening is the so-called conservative, the basically business interests, are fighting. There's a battle for the soul of the Democratic Party going on right now that is not being reported in the media.
Right.
And it's the battle between, you know, it's the DLC Democrats, that is those, the Bill Clinton faction, who have sold out to big business, and, or let's soften that a little, who are aligned with big business and think that corporate money is just a fine thing, thank you very much, and those who think that corporations are part of the corporate money in politics is part of the problem. And ironically, that's not just Democrats. I mean, you'll find John McCain in that position as well.
Well, but that's absolutely correct. And this is one of the things, you know, you talked about Monday night or Tuesday night with Howard Dean.
Yeah.
And you notice the way the media just absolutely piled on him for being there with his supporters and behaving in a way that was friendly, fun, and motivating for his supporters.
Yeah. Well, the reason why, Jeff, I mean, just, you know, let's be honest here. The reason why is because after an election, you're expected to give an acceptance speech or a concession speech to the world. And that's not what he did. And you know, whether one of his handlers blew it or whether he blew it, who knows? But it was a misstep. And he said so last night on national television.
But
he said,
and I disagree with him on that, because what he did do is he did congratulate the people who did well. He did regret the fact that Gephardt would be dropping out, and then, having been extremely gracious about that, he went into a pep rally to motivate his people for the next race.
I understand all that. I agree, and I think I'm a big supporter of Howard Dean, and I would love to see him become president. I mean, he was our governor for 10 years, and I live here in the state of Vermont, and I have nothing but good things to say about him, and I think that was a misstep.
And what's really interesting is the way that Kerry and Gephardt tried to co-opt Dean's positions on other things, and what they did is they took the script written by Karl Rove in the White House that Howard Dean is angry, unstable, can't be trusted, doesn't have any clue about foreign policy, and beat him over the head with it. And what they did is they did Karl Rove's work for him in Iowa.
Well, and the question is going to be, can he rise above that? Can he survive that? I think that there's a very real possibility that he can. I certainly hope he does.
And I agree.
And if he can't, then he won't be able to beat Bush either. But if he can't beat Gephardt, who's using Bush's arguments, then he can't beat Bush using Bush's arguments. I think that there's something actually somewhat healthy about this adversarial process of the primaries.
Well, there's a fundamental difference, though. And that is, in a general election, it's the Republicans, it's the enemy who are piling on Howard Dean, and that would motivate these new voters to get out and vote and support him even more vociferously. But in Iowa, what the perception, I think, of the new people to it was, well, see, this is the party machine, these are the party hacks, they're not going to let Howard Dean have it, he's now down in the polls because they're beating up on him, so why should we even bother to show up at the caucus?
Well, except that you had the highest attendance in the history of the Iowa caucuses. So I don't think
right,
we can say this produced apathy.
But the young voters, though, that were the primary Dean supporters did not show up. And it would have been even a higher voter turnout.
No,
I
actually,
think.
They did. They had more young people show up than ever before in history as well. I think that Gephardt's the food fight that Dean and Gephardt got into harmed them both. Ultimately.
Well, I'm glad Gephardt's gone.
Yeah, I am too. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, I thought Dick Gephardt was a very good man. But I'm glad that the field is narrowing. Because we need to get a candidate here as quickly as possible, in my opinion. Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 11 minutes before the hour, and we will be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Show.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman.com. Bopping the right wing every day on the radio across the USA.
Getting it right and getting tough, using history, science, and all that stuff.
Win the water cooler wars, Tom's on your side, that's what he's for. Ready, set, let's go. It's time for Tom Hartman's show.
Yes, welcome back. And 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, Kurt in San Diego's on the line. Hey, Kurt, welcome to the program.
Wow, I've had a lot of time here to get nervous while I was waiting. I didn't think that other guy was ever going to give me a chance.
Well, there's still time. We got about 3 minutes here. So
okay, well, I'm 35 and never really been involved in politics in my life. And after the last election is when I started getting into it. And it took someone like Howard Dean to, you know, put the fire in me. I'm now on a volunteer phone bank, and I've joined a Democratic group. So, regardless of whether he screeches or hoots and hollers or screams or whatever, I'm going to be there for him. And if, you know, the American public is too shallow to see past one 15-minute blip like that, then that's sad for them. But I will support anybody, you know, if he doesn't get the nomination, I will support any other person because I've really had it, especially with the media, because I don't know, I'm sure you know yesterday, all the legislation that passed with the new
omnibus
FCC,
spending bill. Yeah.
You know, what's going to result in total domination of newspapers, TV shows.
Yeah.
And
well, to some extent, it's ratifying what these guys have already been doing in a quasi-legal fashion.
I mean, it's like No Child Left Behind. The American people shouldn't be left behind, because that's the whole key to this next election, is educating the American people on really what's going on. I mean, I watched a fascinating show last night on KPBS about the weapons of mass destruction. I mean, we need to see more of that, and that's the only way that other people like myself are going to get inspired to get out there and voice their opinion by voting.
Yeah. Well, Kurt, I salute you. I congratulate you for getting involved, and thank you for calling. But mostly, it is so refreshing. It's just great to hear from somebody who's actually putting their body and time and effort where their mouth or mind is, you know, who's actually walking the walk. Good on you, Kurt, as they say in Australia. Thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservative.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, Don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Democratic presidential contenders attacked George W. Bush's policies with gusto Thursday night in the final debate before the New Hampshire primary, each one claiming the credentials needed to lead the party back into the White House. I look forward to that fight, said Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, whose victory in this week's Iowa caucuses has vaulted him into first place in the polls in the nation's first primary state as well. In a debate far more polite than earlier encounters, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean trumpeted his record as a state budget balancer, while Joe Lieberman said Bush had recently identified him in a private conversation as the Democrat he was most worried about. Senator John Edwards recounted how he defeated a Republican incumbent to win his seat in 1998, and retired General Wesley Clark strongly defended his Democratic credentials. Representative Dennis Kucinich and Al Sharpton also raided spots on the debate stage at St. Anselm College, but the stage held two less candidates due to the departure of Carol Mosley Braun and Representative Dick Gephardt. The federal government moved on Thursday to shut down another company accused of importing cheaper Canadian drugs to the United States. The Texas company argued it is essentially a records processor doing nothing wrong. The FDA gave Temple-based Expedite RX 15 days to explain how it would begin complying with laws outlawing the importation of foreign drugs or face legal action. The warning letter marks the third time the agency has targeted companies involved in Canadian imports. Iraq's leading Shiite Muslim cleric wants Iraqi experts, and not just those from the United Nations, to conclude that early elections are not feasible before he will drop his opposition to the U.S. political blueprint for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Husseini al-Sistani also is adamant that the U.S.-led occupation must meet a July 1st deadline to hand over sovereignty to an Iraqi government, according to his aide. If the UN and Iraqi experts conclude elections could not be held before July 1st, al-Sistani wants them to come up with other ways to make the transitional legislature as representative of the Iraqi people as possible. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Authorities in Broward County say a teenager trying to rob a convenience store was thwarted when he tried to load the rifle with the wrong size bullets. Deputies say the 16-year-old stormed into a 7-Eleven in Dania Beach and pointed his rifle at the store clerk, but a customer tackled the teen after seeing him try to jam 40-caliber bullets into the 22-caliber rifle. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What hue are you? Red is out. Red is so yesterday. Blue is in. If you're not sporting blue, you're simply not cool. Just when you thought that surely American politics could not become more trivial, more devoid of substance, more removed from anything that matters, along comes a gaggle of political consultants and fashion mavens to take us deeper into the void. The issue here is ties. Not political ties, but the ties that politicians wear around their necks. Yes, we're talking about strips of cloth, preferably silk. Perhaps you thought that a candidate's principles or character or stand on issue should be the important thing in politics, but that just shows how out of it you are. The issue is neckwear. Not very long ago, all of the power players strutted their stuff with bold red ties. Power ties, they were called, for, like a rooster's coxcomb, they supposedly conveyed to us riffraff that the wearer thereof was a man in charge and on the move. But now, red has faded, and the trend spotters have decreed that blue is the new hue of your elite male strutters. George W. has helped lead the way on this important matter. Other political figures have been wearing navy blue ties, but Bush has broken the mold and broken out in lighter, brighter hues, ranging from periwinkle to baby blue. Following his daring leadership, you now see Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Gore, Tony Blair, and so many more politicos imitating our periwinkle president in their choice of ties. Why? The consultants say that we riffraff aren't seeking boldness these days, but security. Hence, blue. A color consultant says, the human mind connects blue with elements of nature that never go away, the sky and sea. It's the color that invokes feelings of loyalty, steadfastness, constance. This is Jim Hightower saying, so forget issues, principles, and all that stuff. Just keep your eyes on the ties.
This is another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, Defending America from the Conservative Weapons of Mass Deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's Friday afternoon, the second hour of our program, time for brunch with Bernie, Congressman Bernie Sanders, the only independent member of the House of Representatives and one of the truly extraordinary members of Congress. And he does a true service to the nation by coming on this program every Friday afternoon and answering your questions and speaking. You know, Bernie does these brilliant town hall meetings here in Vermont, and this is a national town hall meeting. So welcome, Bernie.
Tom, good to be with you, and nice to have seen you in Washington and your wife just the other day.
Yeah, that was great on Wednesday, visiting your office and seeing what was up. And so the omnibus. First of all, if you have anything that you know, your list for the day.
Well,
great.
I do.
Okay, great.
Hey, what I wanted to say a few words on, Tom, is sure. Obviously I was in the in Congress listening to the President's State of the Union speech.
Yeah.
And I think there are two thoughts to be made about that. Two points to be made. Number one, what he said. And the inaccuracies of what he said, but more importantly, what he left out of that discussion. Mm. And it really bothers me big time that because the role the corporate media plays in our country and the lack of political consciousness that exists, that this guy thinks he can get away with saying things that are just untrue and, in fact, ignoring some of the most important issues facing our country. I mean, he talks about how the economy is doing well. That's what he is talking about. Well, he obviously has not talked to the people that I talk to in Vermont or all over this country, where we're hemorrhaging not only good-paying manufacturing jobs, but we're beginning to lose large numbers of information technology jobs that we talked about last year. And then what really gets me is he makes just blatant falsehoods in his speech. He talks about his prescription drug coverage under Medicare. And this is what he says. This is what he says. For a monthly premium of about $35, most seniors who do not have that coverage today can expect to see their drug bills cut roughly in half. Guess what? It's totally inaccurate. Just not true.
Wrong. Yeah.
It was a fraudulent statement. In fact, most seniors will see their drug costs cut by maybe 20%, maybe 25%. And in fact, 1 year after the implementation of that bill in 2007, most seniors will be paying more for prescription drugs than they are today because the president made certain with his Republican friends in Congress that language would put in there which will prevent the government from negotiating for lower prices with the drug companies. So we're going to see a huge increase in drug company prices. And on it goes. So what this guy is doing and what the Republicans do is not only not tell the truth about many issues, but they also ignore the most important issues facing the American people. This guy went on and on for 45, 50 minutes, and he had about one half a paragraph devoted to what might be the most serious crisis facing America, and that's the health care crisis. And the quote-unquote solutions that he proposed, as everybody knows, were totally meaningless. And then he says, quote, a government-run health care system is the wrong prescription. Then he goes on to say, we will preserve the system of private medicine that makes America's health care the best in the world. America's health care the best in the world? 43 million Americans have no health insurance. Tens of millions of people are underinsured. 25% of seniors cannot afford their prescription drugs, and that's not going to change under his phony proposal. People can't go to the doctor because of high deductibles. We are the only country in the industrialized world without a national health care program, and this is the best system of health care in the world. Who is he kidding? Who is he kidding? So it is annoying to me, not only the untruths that were in his speech, but also huge, important issues that got almost no discussion at all.
Yeah. Did you notice he didn't mention the environment?
Didn't mention the environment. Didn't mention veterans.
And what does steroids have to do with the state of the nation?
Well, he spent more damn time on steroids than he did on the collapse of the American health care system. And that tells you something. I'm not quite sure. People were rolling their eyes when he went off on steroids. Yeah. Apparently, also, they're not too happy about the Mars issue as well, because their polling has shown that most people think that we have children sleeping out on the street, people who can't afford health care, where property taxes are soaring all over this country, our educational system is in trouble, that maybe we'd better pay a little bit more attention to what goes on Earth. So we're not going to get into that too much anymore, I think. But
yeah, we ran a contest yesterday for the number of lies in the State of the Union speech. And we were using the Center for American Progress's summary, which was brilliant, that David Sirota put together. 23 identifiable misstatements of truth in President Bush's State of the Union
speech.
Well,
I applaud you for doing that, because that is what we have got to do. It seems to me, you know, that if we are going to maintain a democratic form of government, we have to recognize that honest people can disagree on the issues. That's what democracy is about. But we are in serious trouble when the President of the United States misstates reality over and over again. Now, one of the other issues that he was talking to me about, how great these tax breaks are, and as I hope most listeners know, the bulk of the tax breaks went to the very, very richest people in this country. And among other things, he says, quote, unless you act, the death tax will come back to life. And, of course, what he wants to do is permanently repeal the inheritance tax. I hope that most listeners understand that 98% of the American families do not pay one penny in the estate tax, the inheritance tax. That only the richest 2% pay that tax, and that if we repeal it permanently, it will cost us $740 billion in the decade after that repeal is complete. That means less money for environmental protection, less money for our kids, less money for our seniors, all to benefit the richest 2%.
Yeah, very straightforward. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you have questions or comments for Congressman Bernie Sanders. Vin in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Vin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Bernie Sanders.
Thanks, Tom. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, Vin.
I used to live in New Hampshire, and I was always envious of the citizens of Vermont for having elected an independent, especially you, to that position. So thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for calling Bush on his Dog and Pony Show. I have a question on free speech on the airways.
Yep.
I got an email from MoveOn.org stating that their Bush and 30 Second ad was rejected by CBS for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And, you know, they're circulating a petition, and I signed that and passed it on to a bunch of my friends. But is there anything else that can be done to put pressure on CBS and those big...
Good. Glad that you asked that question, Vin. And by the way, for more information on that issue and many others, I would ask listeners to come to our website at www.bernie.org. We'll be talking about that.
Great.
Vin, what I am doing right now, literally almost as we speak, is we have written a letter to CBS, and we're saying to CBS, hey, we've got a problem. You took off the Reagan show because right-wing Republicans objected to it, and now you're saying that where you have MoveOn.org, which is prepared to pay for it. They don't want anything for nothing.
Yeah, of course we're paying for it.
You're saying that somehow their issue ad can't get on, but you put other issue ads on your station. And this is a real, real concern. I mean, it's one thing to say, if a station like CBS says, we're not doing any issue ads of any kind, fine. But for them to pick and choose, especially at a time when they are trying to curry favor with the Bush administration in terms of media deregulation, man, I've got a real problem with
that. Oh, it's outrageous.
Vin, to answer your question, what we've got to do are two things. Number one, members of Congress, we have just drafted a letter, which you'll probably see in some newspapers, expressing outrage to CBS. And number two, we have got to stay focused on this whole issue of media deregulation, or else we're going to end up with a handful of companies controlling everything that we see, hear, and read. Corporate control over the media is a huge, huge issue, which is why, by the way,
democracy.
That's right, which is why, by the way, supporting programs like Tom Hartman's programs, other progressive programs, and demanding that your local radio station start putting progressive shows on the air to balance the extreme right-wing shows, which are on all of the time, is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, well, we're spoiled here in Santa Fe because we have that.
Well, you're lucky.
I'm so grateful to live here.
Well, you're lucky because there are a lot of communities in this country that do not have that.
I know that. And thank you so much for that letter. That's so heartening to know that.
Okay, Vin.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Vin. Thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Bernie, I've got a list of the average wages in growing and contracting industries from the official end of the recession, so-called end, through November of 2003. This is based on environmental policy or the Economic
EPI.
Policy Institute. Yeah, the EPI analysis of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And they show, for example, Vermont, just to pick our state, the contracting industries, the ones that are losing jobs, average pay $45,700. Growing industries, the ones where these jobs are migrating to, $29,559 for a decrease of 35%. They go through state by state. The overall average difference across the United States is at 21%. Now, this is just in the last 3 years, average 21% drop in wages.
So you're a really smart guy, Tom, because that's exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
It's exactly what we have on our website, as a matter of fact. And I want listeners to know, and what Tom is just mentioning is of huge importance if we're going to understand what's going on in our economy and the transition in our economy. And again, something I just don't understand it, President Bush forgot to mention it. What do you think about that?
Must have
just slipped his mind. Because this is what's going on. When we look at the economy, we have to look at not just unemployment. That is obviously very, very important. And we have over 8 million workers who are unemployed today, actually more than that. That's a huge issue.
Yeah.
But the other issue is, what kind of jobs are we losing? What kind of jobs are we creating? What Tom just said, I hope everybody listens to that, is that we are moving away from a manufacturing society where people earn good wages with good benefits. We're moving away increasingly from high-tech information technology. We're moving to service industry jobs where the wages are substantially less and the benefits in many cases are non-existent. So you can argue a job is a job, but a job in which you work and make $45,000 or $50,000 a year is different, in fact, than a job where you make $20,000 or $25,000 with limited benefits. And that's the Bush economy. And that has a lot to do with our trade policies, with our anti-union policies. We've got to focus in on that issue as well, Tom.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. California, 40% drop in 3 years from an average of $57,800 a year income to an average of $34,740. I mean, this is why Greenspan says there's no inflation, because there's deflation in wages
That's right.
going on. I mean, it's this is just absolutely mind-boggling. We got to take a break, Bernie. We have Armin on the line, and Brian in New Hampshire, and Kim in Blackwood in Lakewood, Florida. If you folks will hang on, we'll pick up your calls right after this. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 20 minutes past the hour, and we'll be back with Congressman Bernie Sanders right after this break. We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
So a new man in the White House with a familiar name said he had some fresh ideas, but switch now since he came from Texas to Washington.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's Friday afternoon, brunch with Congressman Bernie Sanders. And we got a couple of callers here. Armand in, is it Tampa, Florida? Armand, where you are located?
No, I'm in Sarasota.
Sarasota, that's right. Armand, get this, Armand in Florida. Armand in Sarasota, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Hey, Armand, what's up?
Hey, Bernie, how you doing?
Good, Armand, how are you?
You know, Bernie, I got to say first that, you know, a lot of people just don't realize because they haven't ever listened to you because of our media censorship, but we're so fortunate to have a decent person like you up there. You know that?
Well, thank you very much.
And you're really a decent person.
Well, I appreciate that.
A couple of things I'd like to comment on. In my studies of this republic, and now I haven't thoroughly studied everything, obviously. I'm still working on it. But I have yet to find a family that has historically called herself, quote, conservative, that's benefited more in enriching themselves and becoming very wealthy at the expense of taxpayers and taxation in the history of this republic. Have you ever researched
that?
Than
the Bush family, you mean?
Right, than the Bush family. You know, they call themselves conservatives, but their whole family and their whole progression is totally been dependent, for the most part, on the taxation of working people and benefiting from that, transferring that taxation and that wealth to their accumulated wealth and taxpayers in general.
Yeah.
Well, I think Kevin Phillips is writing about this a little bit.
Yeah, he did. It's an excellent book.
And then another point is I ask myself, don't these people that are up there in Washington that have the power realize that with the service economy, you know, you can't have the progression of the middle class and stability and a good dollar if you don't have a manufacturing-based economy because you don't have value added. And with service is much more temperamental economically because it's inflationary, first off, because when services just raise their price, that's inflationary. But with manufacturing-based, you can always raise productivity in proportion to the increase of cost, and you could it's a cost net neutral factor, and you can create wealth, you know, and that's how this country made the middle class is
that's
our
right.
manufacturing base.
Well, I think Armand makes a very
good
important
point. Armand, thanks
that
for the call.
We are in the process somehow or another. Mr. Bush forgot to talk about this in the State of the Union as well, of seeing the destruction of the middle class. And that is, if good-paying manufacturing jobs are going to China, and good-paying information technology jobs are going to India, and manufacturing jobs are going to China, what do we have left? And what we have left are Walmart jobs and Burger King jobs, and jobs that are not going to sustain the middle class. And the future of this country economically is very much in doubt if we lose our manufacturing base. So I really do agree with Armand on that.
Yeah, it's a terrible problem. We've got about 30 seconds here before the break, Bernie. We've got Brian in New Hampshire, Kim in Lakewood, Florida, James in Utah, and Paul in California.
Let's get Brian on.
Well, okay. Brian, if you can do it in 15 seconds.
Let's do it.
Okay, Brian.
Senator, Representative, regarding the infiltration of the Senate, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee files by the Republican staff members, what do you think is going to come of that, sir?
Well, it's a dirty trick at the worst, and it tells us the kind of politics that right-wing Republicans are playing obviously it has got to be an investigation, but given the fact that the Republicans control the House, the Senate, the White House, and the Attorney General's office, it remains to be seen. But it is absolutely outrageous. And
it's what they did in Watergate, is it not? I mean, you know, it's breaking into the Democrats.
That does appear to be the case, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, thank you, Brian. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Congressman Bernie Sanders after this commercial announcement.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A tiny creature on the bottom of the Great Lakes is disappearing, and so are some of the fish that eat it. I'm Richard Hoofs for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have noticed that a small shrimp-like organism on the bottom of the Great Lakes has been increasingly hard to find during the past 10 years. The consequences of that decline are starting to appear among the fish that eat the little critter. The creature is known as Diporia. Tom Nalepa says some fish in the Great Lakes are getting thinner and fewer because the numbers of Diporia have gotten so low.
When they're declining down to zero, I think that you can see where it would have some impact on the fish.
Nalepa is a research biologist with the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. He says Diporia are a high-calorie, high-energy food for fish, and he says some fish are suffering as this source of energy grows more scarce. He says some commercial fishermen report that whitefish in the Great Lakes look increasingly scrawny, and he says that appears to be hurting the overall numbers of fish in some places.
Populations are going down. In Lake Ontario, where the diaporia decline is much more advanced than in other places of the Great Lakes, such as in Lake Michigan or in Lake Huron, those whitefish populations are basically crashing down to zero. There's very little recruitment of new or young ones in the population. So not only are we dealing with scrawnier fish, that the fish aren't there anymore.
Nalepa and his colleagues are not sure exactly why the diaporia are disappearing. Some people suspect it's connected to the invasion of the Great Lakes by zebra mussels. Zebra mussels eat a lot of the food that diaporia feed on, and that might be the reason the native diaporia is disappearing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat. In America, can't get away with that. On the eve of destruction again, and he's got the knack.
boy president, but he wears a black hat.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, the organic wine company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. And by the way, they are offering their free sampler, 1-888-ECO-WINE, if you want to find out about that. And the Newsletter Factory in Atlanta, Georgia, newsletterfactory.com. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders, and we have... Let's see, Kim in Lakewood, Florida on the line. Hey, Kim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, thank you. First, I wanted to say thank you, Tom, for doing this show. I don't know where else I'd get any real information.
You're welcome.
Congressman?
Yes.
I was wondering if you could tell me anything about the status of Rush Holt's bill about the verifiable paper trail for voting machines.
How is that going? What the caller is talking about is a bill introduced by Rush Holt of New Jersey, which would require a paper trail for touch computers voting, touchscreen computer voting. There is a lot of concern, growing concern, I think, that type of approach, touchscreen approach, could result in manipulation. And I think more and more people in Congress are concerned about it. The number of folks in the House who are supporting that bill is growing, and there is a bill in the Senate as well. So I think, especially with several studies recently showing how touchscreen voting can be manipulated, that it is an issue we certainly want to move forward on.
Is there a time limit on how many sponsors? You know, I mean, there's a cutoff, isn't there?
No, there's not. But let me explain something, and I'm glad you asked that, Kim. The way it works in Congress, you could have 300 co-sponsors, and that doesn't mean to say that bill gets to the floor of the House.
Mm-hmm.
No legislation gets to the floor of the House unless the leadership wants it to get to the floor, and Tom DeLay is the most important person, and if he doesn't want it, it ain't going to get to the floor. So we've got to put tremendous grassroots pressure to make sure that that bill is voted upon.
Has Tom DeLay taken a position on this, Bernie?
Not that I'm aware of, but I would doubt that he would be sympathetic to it.
Yeah, interesting. Kim, thank you for the call, and thanks for raising an important issue. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. James in Utah is on the line. Welcome to the program, James. You're on the air.
I'm really on the air, or am I listening to the Internet here?
You're really on the air.
Okay, good. Real person. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll be up front with you. I'm not really what I'd call liberal, progressive, probably a little bit more towards conservative, but you know, just to leave rhetoric and vitriol behind, because I know those generate ratings, but let's get to the issue here. Regarding drug costs, something that the Honorable Congressman said was that, just in his comment about the State of the Union address, he said drug costs are actually going to go up. And I don't know if that can actually be validated, because what, the government's going to add a surcharge or something like that?
No,
I think we're talking about market prices, right?
James, let me explain to you what's going on. Then you respond to me.
Okay.
And I'm glad you're calling up, because we don't want everybody to call up who just has the same views that we do. Here's the story, James. The president passed, as you know, a prescription drug benefit under Medicare. In my view, the benefits themselves are pretty weak. But more importantly, it does not address the problem of the United States, citizens of the United States, paying by far the highest prices in the world. So right now, and there's nothing in the president's legislation to prevent that, drug companies could double the price tomorrow or in 5 years for the medicine that you are paying, that you are using right now. So the estimate is that we're going to continue to see about a 15% a year increase in drug costs.
So you're really talking about market increases, and okay.
Well, this isn't a free market. That's the thing you're missing, James. This is not a it is not a free market.
Well, can I interject a proposal? This has nothing to do with party lines or anything
sure.
like that. People keep saying, well, if the drug companies don't get their long-lasting patents, if they don't get their protection against generic drugs, they're not going to have an incentive to produce. And I think that's bull hokey. I mean, let's get real. There's a lot of money in drugs. If they make 25% margins instead of 30% margins, they're still making a hell of a lot more money, pardon my French, a lot more money than any other industry.
You're right, James.
So that I think is maybe more like right-wing rhetoric and a right-wing protection of maybe a constituency, but it's crap, you know.
Well,
there's so much to be made in drugs. And what are they going to go do? Are they going to go make cars? No, they're going to still make drugs.
James,
I mean, the car makers accepted less.
All right, you're making the right point, James. You're quite right. Every single year, James, do you know what industry in America is the most profitable? James? The drug company.
Washington lobbyists? I don't know.
Well, they do pretty well, too. Yeah. By the way, the pharmaceutical industry has more lobbyists in Washington than anybody else.
Well, sure. They got the money.
Surprise.
I'm sure insurance companies make a lot of money, too. But
they do very well, too. But the drug companies actually do better.
So now, are there actually any laws in the books that prevent drugs from coming in from other countries? So I see the kind of the United States as subsidizing drug development for the world.
No, that's a line that's going on out there. That ain't true. That's really not true.
Are there any laws in the book that would prevent it?
Yes. It's a gray area. It's really a gray area.
Is it kind of FDA governed or?
Yeah. In other words, they're all laws. Right now, if your pharmacist wanted to get a medicine from Canada sent to him, it would be against the law. On the other hand, if you want to go over the Canadian border, you can bring back 90 days of prescription drugs for your own personal use. So we've got a gray area. The House of Representatives, and I played an active role in that with some Republicans, by the way, to pass legislation that would make it legal, absolutely clear, that your pharmacist can buy safe, affordable medicine from Canada and other countries.
Doesn't NAFTA, free trade agreement, provide some opening for this?
Well, interesting question, James. The answer is no. NAFTA is not really a free trade agreement. The powerful forces that wanted to protect their own interest are not involved in it. So the answer is we can get lettuce from Mexico,
but you can't get
prescription drugs from Canada. You got it?
Well, that's because it's corporations bringing in the lettuce, and the NAFTA protects the corporations and not the persons, right?
You got it.
Okay,
yeah.
Basically the drug companies have us in a stranglehold assisted by the FDA. So if we could somehow get the FDA, this is what's ridiculous, okay? We make a drug here, I don't know, maybe we make it in Michigan. It goes over the border, it gets sold for half price, and the FDA, do they really have the gall to propose to us that it's not safe to bring that same drug?
They sure do.
Where are the dead Canadians?
I'll tell you, honestly, I'm actually a Canadian citizen. Okay. Now, medical care up there ain't all rosy, okay?
It is not all rosy.
I would have lost my leg about 10 years ago if I had...
Okay, James, let me just say this. All right, listen up to the program, because I think you will find, as you listen, that your views may not be so conservative as you think they are. So, okay, James, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call, James. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Let's see, Paul in Venice, California is back on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Bernie, thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you, Paul.
And I want to know why. We know he lied about weapons of mass destruction. We know he knew about 9/11. Why are we not talking treason? Why are we not talking impeachment?
Okay.
Why do we pussyfoot around it every time?
All right, Paul, let me deal with that one, okay? I mean, there are people who are talking impeachment. There are bumper stickers, I'm sure, in California and Vermont. But to my mind, that's not really what the issue is. The issue is a political struggle in this country. And if you impeach George Bush tomorrow, as I'm sure some of the listeners want, my goodness, you're going to get Mr. Cheney as your new president. That will certainly take us a major step forward. The issue is there is no simple issue. There's not one piece of legislation. There's not an impeachment that's going to change the situation. And to some degree, that's a cop-out. What we have got to do is the hard grassroots political work in this country to defeat Bush, to defeat the right-wing Republicans who control the United States Congress. No one in the United States Congress, let me assure you, is not going to impeach George Bush. It's dominated by people who love him very, very much.
Yeah.
So the issue is, how do you win elections? And to do that, you've got to take a page from the Republican book. They do a lot of grassroots organizing. We've got to substantially increase the voter turnout. People are going to have to stop talking. They're going to have to knock on doors and talk to their neighbors and make sure that people vote. So I am not sympathetic to anyone who thinks there's a simple solution out there. It's going to be the old-fashioned grassroots way of educating and organizing, and that's what we've got to do.
Amen. Margaret in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Margaret, welcome to the program. You're on the air with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
I wanted to ask Congressman, I haven't worked up there. It was never as bad as it is now. But one of the things I wanted to ask him is that the NIH, National Institute of Health, doesn't the NIH give grants and money to the pharmaceuticals to discover and and try to make new kind of drugs and things?
Margaret, you're raising a very good point. The answer is yes. As a taxpayer, we spend billions of dollars through the NIH, some of their own research, and some of it goes to universities and foundations, to develop new medicine. And
yeah.
You know what we do when those new drugs are developed? We give it to the pharmaceutical industry, who then proceeds to charge us outrageously high prices.
That's what I thought.
Let me just tell you something, Margaret, on that issue. I passed legislation on the floor of the House several years ago to stop that. It didn't go very far in the Senate.
Well, then why don't we negotiate and let the drug companies keep a lower rate on the pharmaceuticals?
Exactly what my legislation did. Margaret, that is exactly what my legislation did. It's called reasonable price. If the taxpayers pay for it, the drug company, and give it to the drug companies, they have to sell it at a reasonable price.
Right.
Okay. Common sense suggests that you're right. The House of Representatives agreed with the legislation that I introduced. The reason that it didn't go further is the pharmaceutical industry has a stranglehold on the White House. They have a stranglehold on the Congress. They have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in recent years to make sure we pay the highest prices in the world.
Again, can I ask another question?
Well, that's
sure.
For Tom.
Yeah, can I ask another question?
Yeah, go for it, Margaret.
Well, you know, there are a lot of members of Congress and senators who have retired. Take, for instance, Army, who's saying he wants to save Social Security, and he's sending out all kinds of letters telling us why we should protect Social Security. Well, a lot of members of Congress have already joined the lobbyists, and I don't know how many congressmen might be lobbyists for the pharmaceuticals.
Many of them, Margaret. That's what happens. You leave Congress, in fact, on board the pharmaceutical industry payroll, in terms of being lobbyists, are former leaders of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. These guys the industry spends a fortune, they hire powerful people, and that's why they keep winning. And we need I don't want to get into too much on the pharmaceutical industry because I know there are other questions out there. We're making some progress, but we've got a long way to go to lower the cost of prescription drugs in this country. No question about it.
Absolutely. Thanks for those questions, Margaret. Robert in Chicago is on the line. Robert, you're on the air with Congressman Sanders.
How you doing, Tom?
Good. Turn down your radio.
Yeah, hold on. I turned it down. Yeah, I got a question about the high cost. And I tell you, the insurance is going up. I'm an owner-operator. I drive big trucks. Man, my deductible is $600 right now. And the regular lady told me the other day it's going to go up higher. It's going to kill me out here.
That's right.
What are you going to do about all this high insurance price going up on us?
All right, Robert, you've raised the most important issue out there, and that is more and more workers are unable to afford the high cost of prescription drugs, a high cost of insurance and health care, which is zooming way up. Here in Vermont, there are people who are paying 20-25% more than they did last year. In my view, Robert, the United States should join the rest of the industrialized world and have a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people. Health care should be a right, not something that many working people just can't afford. Does that make sense to you, Robert?
Yeah, that makes great sense.
All right, that's the fight. That's what we got to do. But to do that, we got to take on the insurance companies and say that health care is a right. What happens if somebody loses their job tomorrow? What happens to their health insurance?
They lose the insurance.
They got nothing. So that's the fight. Every other country, major country on earth, has a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people. We don't. That's, in my view, the direction we've got to go.
Yeah, well said. Shalel in Charlottesville, Virginia is on. And thank you, Robert, for that call. Shalel in Charlottesville, Virginia is on the line. Shalel, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Tom. Thanks for all the stuff you do. Hi, Karen, Congressman Sanders. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good, very good. I'm just, you know, a little concerned that we're missing the mark when we're talking about, you know, I mean, these are important issues, but the fact is, you know, the government's unaccountable to the people, and I think that's the biggest problem. I mean, we saw the controlled demolitions that happened in New York. I mean, there's no investigation into what actually happened. We're just expected to buy the whole story, hook, line, and sinker, and it's more worrying to me than, you know, health care issues, which are important issues. I, you know, don't get me wrong, I have older parents, and I you know, luckily they're doing well. And
so, Paul, your question is what?
My question is, how can we?
I
want to stay positive, and I am getting involved politically, and I really support Howard Dean. Is there anything else we can do to get some accountability?
Sure, there is.
Get some honesty back.
Sure, there is. You know,
great,
what we have
great
got
question,
to do.
Shalal. Thanks for the call.
What we have got to do is revitalize democracy. You know, you're a very important person. Every person who's listening is a very important person. We've got to learn how the game is played. Get on your phone. Get with and call up your member of Congress and tell him or her what you think has to be done. Have a meeting. Invite your member of Congress to come and talk to your group about the most important issues. If your member of Congress does not have time for you, you can politely inform that member of Congress that you may not have time for them in November. Go out and register people. Get good information and distribute it to your friends. We have the lowest voter turnout of any major country on earth. Come the presidential election, half the people are not going to vote. Most working people don't vote. We have got to change that. We can't moan and groan. We've got to get involved politically.
Well said. This is Tom Hartman with Congressman Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Show.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
This I can't believe I said. I can't believe our warlord's dead. Oh, we will not leave the chosen ones to the buzzards and the soldiers' guns. Oh, great father of the Iroquois, ever since I was young, I've read the writing of the smoke and breastfed on the sound of drums.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network with Congressman Bernie Sanders. We've got, Bernie, we've got three callers here, and we've got about 3 minutes.
So we'll have to do it quickly.
We'll start out with Shelby in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Shelby, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Hello, Congressman.
Hi.
Hey, Shelby.
My name is Shelby LaPree, and I operate a grassroots internet radio station, and we carry liberal talk radio, and we're extremely happy to have a voice such as yours on the radio. And but I please don't take this personally. What I'd like to say is that I find it morally treasonable that no one in Congress will at least introduce an article of impeachment against this president, because he has lied to us about the Iraq War. He has thwarted and undermined any real investigation into the 9/11 attacks. And you know, these are very serious allegations.
Okay, let me just say something, Shelby. Well, I know where you're coming from.
Well, I just want to say, let me finish. I want to say that I realize that an article of impeachment will probably not pass. But the idea here is that we need to see the lay of the land. And our members of Congress, some Democrat in Congress, should introduce an article of impeachment on moral grounds, just so that it's on the record. This whole game of hedging your bet, you know, so that you can get reelected, so you won't get thrown out of Congress or whatever.
Good point, Shelby.
At this point in the game, I find that to be morally not right.
Well, I mean,
okay.
I do understand
Shelby,
where you're coming from, and there may be some members of Congress who will do it. I am putting my focus not on something that will go nowhere, that will result in Dick Cheney become president, but on trying to develop a grassroots movement so that we can, in fact, take back Congress, take back the White House, and, in fact, really implement the kind of changes that we have to. That's my view.
Bernie, do you want to stick around for 10 minutes and pick up a couple more callers?
Sure, absolutely.
Or do you have to go?
Okay.
You will?
We can.
Okay, great. Frank in Manhattan, Omar in Raleigh, North Carolina. Stay on the line. We'll pick you up on the other side of the news. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Fantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Democratic presidential contenders attacked George W. Bush's policies with gusto Thursday night in the final debate before the New Hampshire primary, each one claiming the credentials needed to lead the party back into the White House. I look forward to that fight, said Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, whose victory in this week's Iowa caucuses has vaulted him into first place in the polls in the nation's first primary state as well. In a debate far more polite than earlier encounters, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean trumpeted his record as a state budget balancer, while Joe Lieberman said Bush had recently identified him in a private conversation as the Democrat he was most worried about. Senator John Edwards recounted how he defeated a Republican incumbent to win his seat in 1998, and retired General Wesley Clark strongly defended his Democratic credentials. Representative Dennis Kucinich and Al Sharpton also raided spots on the debate stage at St. Anselm College, but the stage held two less candidates due to the departure of Carol Mosley Braun and Representative Dick Gephardt. Members of Congress and 10 ex-CIA officials are seeking a broader inquiry into the leak of an undercover officer's name, aiming to determine if U.S. national security was compromised and to discourage future leaks. In addition, a leading Democratic critic of the Justice Department investigation into the matter says the Bush administration should release details of the probe to show the public whether officials are cooperating as George W. Bush promised. Bill Janklow, a Republican who dominated South Dakota politics for three decades as governor and then congressman, was sentenced to 100 days in jail Thursday for a car crash that killed a motorcyclist and ended Janklow's career in disgrace. After 30 days behind bars, Janklow will be allowed to leave jail during the day for up to 10 hours to perform community service. After he completes his jail term, he will be on probation for 3 years, during which he will not be allowed to drive. A military helicopter crashed Thursday at Camp Pendleton north of San Diego, killing three of the four people aboard. The UH-1 Huey crashed about 7 p.m. during a training mission. Four people were aboard the cargo-type aircraft, including the pilot. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Megan Whitaker of Menasha, Wisconsin, was arrested Sunday and accused of holding up the local Q-Mart convenience store. Cops say she brandished the toy gun and forced the clerk to open the register. Identification was easy. Whitaker was a regular customer and had recently applied for a job at the store. Whitaker realized during the robbery that the clerk knew her, so she told the clerk she was her own twin sister. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What hue are you? Red is out. Red is so yesterday. Blue is in. If you're not sporting blue, you're simply not cool. Just when you thought that surely American politics could not become more trivial, more devoid of substance, more removed from anything that matters, along comes a gaggle of political consultants and fashion mavens to take us deeper into the void. The issue here is ties. Not political ties, but the ties that politicians wear around their necks. Yes, we're talking about strips of cloth, preferably silk. Perhaps you thought that a candidate's principles or character or stand on issue should be the important thing in politics, but that just shows how out of it you are. The issue is neckwear. Not very long ago, all of the power players strutted their stuff with bold red ties. Power ties, they were called, for, like a rooster's coxcomb, they supposedly conveyed to us riffraff that the wearer thereof was a man in charge and on the move. But now, red has faded, and the trend spotters have decreed that blue is the new hue of your elite male strutters. George W. has helped lead the way on this important matter. Other political figures have been wearing navy blue ties, but Bush has broken the mold and broken out in lighter, brighter hues, ranging from periwinkle to baby blue. Following his daring leadership, you now see Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Gore, Tony Blair, and so many more politicos imitating our periwinkle president in their choice of ties. Why? The consultants say that we riffraff aren't seeking boldness these days, but security. Hence, blue. A color consultant says, the human mind connects blue with elements of nature that never go away, the sky and sea. It's the color that invokes feelings of loyalty, steadfastness, constance. This is Jim Hightower saying, so forget issues, principles, and all that stuff. Just keep your eyes on the ties.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, friends. Congressman Bernie Sanders was kind enough to stick around just to answer a few more questions here. Bernie, it was just an impulsive jump on my part to do that. I won't spring that on you again, I promise. I'm sorry.
Well, if we have questions on the line, let's go get them.
Okay, we have Frank in Manhattan on the line to start out with. Hey, Frank, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Maybe Frank's not there.
Okay.
No? Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's see here. We've got Omar in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Omar, you're welcome. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Great show. Like it.
Thank you.
Congressman, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I heard you the other day as well.
Nice to meet you.
I just am feeling envy because I don't have one congressman in my district. But anyhow... I have a little different kind of question. I was recently reading Noam Chomsky's Hegemony or Survival, and it really sickens me to read and go through the whole list of atrocities that we have committed, that I am personally responsible for with my taxpayer money and, you know, with my consent. And I was wondering what your position is on that and you know, what role have you played, or do you even agree that the United States has ever committed any atrocities abroad?
I think the history of American foreign policy over the years, especially, for example, toward Latin America, has been extraordinarily unfair and has resulted in a huge amount of suffering. We have overthrown one government after another, including the government of Salvador Allende, which was a democratic government. We basically helped overthrow it. We overthrew governments in Guatemala. We worked very hard to destroy the government in Nicaragua. So, there's no question about it. And I think very often American foreign policy has not been geared toward improving the lives of poor people around the world, toward bringing democracy. But I think the evidence is quite strong that the policies have been geared toward protecting corporate interest. And I think that is unfortunate. And my view is that the United States today has got to play a role with the rest of the industrialized world in addressing the terrible crises that exist all over the developing world. We have 1 billion people living on $1 a day. We have the disaster of AIDS, and we're not doing anywhere near enough. So, yeah, no, I think we have got to radically change our foreign policy and uplift people around the world and not do terrible things to them, which we have done in many instances in the past.
Yeah, thank you, Omar. Good question. 1-800-TALK, yes, the number. Actually, we're kind of closing the phone lines. We've got a couple more here. Paul in Arkansas is on the line. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call. I really respect your show and respect Mr. Sanders. I have a question. Have you given much thought to, I think that what the progressives need is a unified economic theory that unites their kind of disparate interest groups, like there's labor going in one direction, environmentalists going in another direction, and small business people going in another direction. I think your small business people want to be Republican wannabes. But the fact is that they're getting
shafted,
yes. But anyway, what I'm proposing is not me that's proposing it. They have national conferences on it, is the concept of geonomics. What's your position on geonomics?
I have no position because I'm honestly just not familiar with it.
Okay, I've never heard of it either.
I'll write that word down and look it up in the Internet. But basically, it's very simple. Let's lower taxes on labor and capital, you know, for your small business people. But let's put a rent on the Commonwealth. And by the Commonwealth, I mean all the things that we own together as the public. And that's everything that Mother Nature or God gave us, that we have not refashioned with our own hands. So your labor is your private property, as well as the fruits of your labor. But what is public property is basically the site value of our land, as well as the radio waves, as well as the air. Maybe you've heard of the sky
track. Well, it's interesting concept.
It is an interesting concept, Paul, which I will take a look at. But
yeah.
Right now, I have a sense of where I'm coming from, and that was well summarized, by the way, by Tom Hartman's blurb that he did 15 minutes ago. I think we've got to move away from greed, we've got to protect the middle class, and we've got to make sure that in this country we get our priorities right.
Yeah. Paul, thanks for the call. Roberta in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Roberta, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Three points. I'll try to make them quickly. The first is that In your response to the beautiful young fellow who called in and wanted to know what was for Howard Dean and wanted to know, you know, what we could do collectively, more than just working for one personality, which is no panacea, although I very much admire Howard Dean for his authenticity and the courage of his convictions, and I think he is definitely maybe the only man who could really stand up to Bush. The second point I want to make is that it came out on Amy Goodman's show yesterday in an interview.
Roberta, let me interrupt you. Do you want to make points, or did you have a question for Congressman Sanders?
Well, I have something I want to respectfully invite his consideration, and that is that on the impeachment thing, Cheney is already the president. You know, and I think what the woman said, I just want to invite your consideration for that. We uphold the Constitution every way we can so that it isn't just the reactionary
franchise. So you're supporting Shelby and calling for impeachment of at least a bill of impeachment to be inserted.
Yes, because before the Constitution becomes obsolete, we must use it. We must use it at every opportunity. And this is such an important point. There are so many high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah.
And the other point, really, I want to bring out publicly is that Kerry and Bush.
Roberta, if this is not a question
difference.
For Bernie, I'm going to ask you to just hold right there. Steph, just pot her down for a second. Roberta, I'm going to ask you to just hold that, and I'm going to let Bernie go because, Congressman Sanders, I really appreciate your time. And, Roberta, you're welcome to make your points on my program, but, the congressman's time is valuable. So, Bernie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Okay, Tom, good show. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Roberta, you finish your point.
Congressman maybe does not know these things. The skull and bones.
I guarantee you he's heard it all.
That Kerry is a skull and bones, as was Bush?
Oh, sure. It's in the newspapers.
Oh, okay. I just think that's too important a point to miss at every turn. We can't just, as the young man said, we can't just vote for anybody other than Dean if Dean loses. Just to get rid of Bush, we have to find someone who maintains a clear posture, and that certainly is not Lieberman or Kerry.
You're suggesting that Kerry's membership in the Skull and Bones Society disqualifies him to be president?
Well, I think it qualifies him to be less than candid and honest president. And that is what we need. As Gandhi said, secrecy is the enemy of freedom. And what we are looking for is the liberty and justice for all that our Constitution implies and expresses. We're not going to find any change if we elect someone from a secret society. That's max of conspiracy. And that is not democracy.
Yeah, something that you join in college.
Well, no, but this is, as it came out yesterday on the investigative reporting by the woman who was on Amy Goodman's show yesterday.
It's been known that Kerry was a member of Skull and Bones for years.
This is a college fraternity, yes, but it's active for adult vocations. In fact, she documents that Kerry actually was recruiting for Skull and Bones while he was in Congress.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Roberta. I appreciate your call. Thanks for sharing that with us. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network, 16 minutes after the hour. The day is flying. It's a Friday afternoon. If you want to call about anything, you're welcome to 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. I did want to move on to a few other topics. We have this. Where did it go here? A Berlusconi alert. Yeah, Silvio Berlusconi, the guy who started with a few radio stations and then a TV station and then bought a newspaper and then bought another TV station and then another one and now owns 90% of the media in Italy and then decided to run for prime minister. Well, surprise, surprise, he got elected. Yes, indeed, Silvio Berlusconi, who just came back from getting a facelift yesterday. That's actually on the front page of Die Welt, the German newspaper today. Showing the before and after pictures. But this interesting little piece here from thespoof.com. Berlusconi set to join Dictators Club. See, what's happened is his trial is apparently going to get started again. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi looks set to join global politicians' most prestigious body, the Deposed Dictators Society. Lawyers for Mr. Berlusconi confirmed that the reopening of a trial in which he is charged with bribery and corruption had persuaded the Italian leader to press ahead with his membership application. The result of this case could prove very decisive for Signor Berlusconi, said his legal counsel, Marcello Baccandinelli. All being well, he could be following in the footsteps of our proud former leader, Benito Mussolini. The Deposed Dictator Society was formed in Italy by Julius Caesar in 32 B.C. and boasts a list of illustrious names: Charles I of England, Tsar Nicholas II of Russia, Adolf Hitler of Germany, Pol Pot of Cambodia have all been accepted by the organization. Latest recent additions include Nikolai Ceausescu, Slobodan Milosevic, and Saddam Hussein. Rules for membership are simple. A leader has to have been ousted from power against his will after committing serious crimes against his people. A vox pop of Italian citizens showed that many felt Mr. Berlusconi should be allowed to join the society, but surprisingly not on the back of the corruption charges. and you should hear his singing, commented one passerby. So our Berlusconi alert for the day. Silvio carries on. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. Frank in Manhattan's on the line. Hey, Frank, you were there before, and then you vanished. You're back?
I had to go, Tom. But I think Silvio was a little bit more than that. Let's not forget, as when he became prime minister, he also took control and appointed his own ministers to run the RAI TV station.
That's right, their equivalent of National Public Radio and the Public Broadcasting Corporation.
Exactly, so he had it completely locked up. But
yeah.
But what I called to talk about was an interesting article yesterday in the Washington Post that is getting very little coverage, and this is the investigation of Shelby's office, Senator Shelby from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught that. There was a 19-month investigation going on by the Justice Department regarding some intercepted messages in a hearing, in a Senate House hearing, that Shelby was there. And from all the information that was gathered by the FBI, it came back that it came out of Shelby's office. Now, what's interesting about this, because CNN reported this, the actual quote from CNN was, and this is on June 19th of 2002,
Frank, let me ask you to pause right there, and on the other side of the break, if you can hold the line for 4 minutes, on the other side of the break, you can finish your report on that, because this is a fascinating story. I think our listeners should hear it. So just hold the line. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche. Voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we're talking with Frank in Manhattan. Just to bring our listeners up to date, Frank, what you're talking about is Senator Richard Shelby. Well, to back up, right after 9/11, there was a leak to Dana somebody or other at CNN, one of the reporters there. I forget which Dana sticks
Priest?
In my head. Yeah, it could have been. I don't know. I've got it here someplace.
It was Dana Priest, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Dana Priest. That on the day before 9/11, intelligence had been intercepted indicating that 9/11 was going to happen, and it didn't get translated until the day after. And the administration has been all freaked out about this ever since because apparently this did happen, and it would imply that Bush was not doing his job of protecting the nation.
Exactly.
And then the question was, who leaked this? I mean, you know, they're looking for the leaker in the White House who outed Valerie Plame. This is another one of those searches.
Exactly.
And they've been poking around for a year and a half now, 2 years, and 2.5 years, I guess. And now it seems to be focusing on Senator Richard Shelby, the senator from Alabama, who just announced he's running for re-election.
They're actually targeting his former press secretary, Andrea Andrews, but she's moved out. And
she just gave testimony.
Exactly, but neither her or her attorney is willing to cooperate right now. But the specific thing that was revealed on CNN was they were used the code words that the chatter was revealing was that they used quotes saying the match begins tomorrow, and another quote, tomorrow is zero day. Now, this information was revealed by the NSA's director, the Air Force Lieutenant Michael Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
And this was done during a closed session of a joint House-Senate panel, which Shelby was sitting on. So they discovered, after investigating all the senators, they interviewed everybody, they asked everyone to take lie detectors, Shelby was the one that supposedly the leak came from him. Now, what happened was Mr. Cheney freaked out. He first of all, he chastised the members because they were disclosing sensitive information, but the actual thing that he was concerned about, he was trying to stop the disclosure of this from embarrassing this administration. And,
right.
And Tom, not only this is just one of the ties, because if we go back to the Warren Rudman, Rudman report, which was given to Bush on March 2001, which clearly stated in that report that we are susceptible. They were so prophetic almost. They said we are susceptible to attacks by airlines on our high rise.
That's
number one.
And in fact, it has happened before.
I just want to add a few more things. This all ties in a lot of things. The Geneva meeting that they had in August, a few months before, or 1 month before, when they were told then by the Egyptian government that they had picked up Chadwick, they turned trying to crash land the plane into the Geneva compound where the GA people were, and the Italian authorities put up surface-to-air missiles and they closed down the airspace. The other one was the PDF, the briefing that he got in August, which told him about this. The Phoenix memo, Moussaoui was already in jail, and then what does Condoleezza Rice say? We had no idea. And why is she refusing to go on
this? This is nonsense. Frank, we just have a second left here. I'm wondering, do you think that Shelby should be prosecuted or should be congratulated?
I think he should be congratulated for doing this, but you know what they're going to say? That he was an ex-Democrat.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was. He turned a while. Well, we're talking 20 years ago, though, but he was a Democrat before. He was a Southern Democrat.
Well, like Strom Thurmond.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is something that the public needs to be aware of. Why are they stonewalling the commission? Why are they telling Tom Key, no, you got to be done by May 27th, or you can do it after December? They're trying to avoid this to be part of the election cycle. I mean,
right.
People should know the truth if they're going to vote. They need to know the exact truth.
Yeah, I have a feeling a lot of this stuff is going to be coming out after November. One way or the other, if Bush is no longer in office, probably a lot of it will just die because it will be old news. But if he's still in office, and particularly if enough Democrats are elected to the House and Senate to take it back, you're going to see something that's going to make Watergate look tiny. Frank, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments. Mike in Santa Fe, hang on the line. We'll pick you up on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network here in the Democracy Zone. And we'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A tiny creature on the bottom of the Great Lakes is disappearing, and so are some of the fish that eat it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have noticed that a small shrimp-like organism on the bottom of the Great Lakes has been increasingly hard to find during the past 10 years. The consequences of that decline are starting to appear among the fish that eat the little critter. The creature is known as Diporia. Tom Nalepa says some fish in the Great Lakes are getting thinner and fewer because the numbers of Diporia have gotten so low.
When they're declining down to zero, I think that you can see where it would have some impact on the fish.
Nalepa is a research biologist with the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. He says Diporia are a high-calorie, high-energy food for fish, and he says some fish are suffering as this source of energy grows more scarce. He says some commercial fishermen report that whitefish in the Great Lakes look increasingly scrawny, and he says that appears to be hurting the overall numbers of fish in some places.
Populations are going down. In Lake Ontario, where the Diporia decline is much more advanced than in other places of the Great Lakes, such as in Lake Michigan or in Lake Huron, those whitefish populations are basically crashing down to zero. There's very little recruitment of new or young ones in the population. So not only are we dealing with scrawnier fish, that the fish aren't there anymore.
Nalepa and his colleagues are not sure exactly why the Diporia are disappearing. Some people suspect it's connected to the invasion of the Great Lakes by zebra mussels. Zebra mussels eat a lot of the food that Diporia feed on, and that might be the reason the native Diporia is disappearing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman. And let's go back to the phone lines here. We have Mike in Santa Fe on the line. He's called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, Tom, got no work today, so I figure I'll listen to your show because I love it.
Thank you.
From what I listen to day in, day out, I think the whole world's economic political culture is, I mean, it's so corrupt and so polluted that it almost seems at this point like a cure would be worse than the disease.
Well, it's in a free-fall meltdown because what we have now is democracy diminishing as rapidly as the middle classes, being replaced by a corporate aristocracy. It's a new form of feudalism. We're going back to the form of governance that Europe had from around the year 600 to around 1500.
Right. But to try to get back to some sort of like direction towards solution, because you know I don't think like any cure short of total catastrophe is imaginable right now, but. I just wonder if you have ever read any books by Jeremy Rifkin.
I have.
Small is Beautiful and Entropy.
I've read them both.
And
it's
I know
been some
in
years.
Small is Beautiful, he attributes a lot of, or he gives credit to Gandhi's economic thinking, which
yes.
is I think overlooked a lot.
Yeah, Gandhi and the spinning wheel and the building small.
Yeah,
local.
Let's bring back the baker, the butcher. Let's bring back and localize and how can we like get on some kind of path to that? Because short of that, I think the largesse and the gluttony of modern economics is just unsustainable, and all it can lead to is total meltdown disaster.
Yeah, Mike, I wrote an entire book about this. It's called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. And I don't mean that as a plug for the book, but just to say I understand what you're saying. And it seems to me that it's quite clear to me that the source of the problem is that in 1886, in a bizarre footnote or headnote to a Supreme Court decision, the clerk of the court, John Chandler Bancroft Davis, gave corporations human rights, gave them rights under the Bill of Rights. Not churches, not government, not unions, not civic organizations, just human beings and for-profit corporations. And they have been using those rights aggressively ever since, particularly in the last 20 or 30 years. And it's an absolute disaster for democracy. And until that, that's the core. That's what's underneath it all. That's how they can claim the right to give money to politicians, the right to lobby, the right to lie to people, the right to claim anti-discrimination laws to prevent people from keeping them out of their communities.
But if I could make a little request somehow, like just to bring about some sort of a positive vision or something, that at some point, on one of your shows, maybe we could, have somebody like Jeremy Rifkin or discuss, another economic paradigm that, is at least a destination point. I mean, I know that we're not going to, overnight go back to having a small community of businesses and labor and be able to sort of comfortably live our lives.
Well, here's the bottom line, Mike, and that is that business, think of business as a game, like hockey or football. It's played on a field, the size and dimensions of which are determined by government, and the rules of which are determined by government. And government is theoretically you and me. It's we the people, in a democracy at least. And what has happened is, I mean, imagine if you had two baseball teams and one of the teams had been able to get to the umpires and to get to the owners of the field and said, okay, we want first base to be 30 feet closer. We want third base to be 60 feet farther away because we've got, you know, we've got particular guys who are really good at playing those positions. And we want to have five strikes and you're out, but the other team gets two strikes and you're out. And they changed the rules like that. I mean, that's what's happened. The people who are supposed to be just playing the game, the biggest corporations in America by and large, and this is not an indictment of small and medium-sized businesses. They're the heart and soul of this country. But the very large corporations, the Walmarts of the nation, have inserted themselves in the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry and on and on and on. They have inserted themselves into the process of defining the rules of the game. And therefore, the game itself has become corrupted. And everybody looks at it and goes, the game is corrupted, and everybody tries to blame the corporations. Well, the thing is, what happened was we changed the rules of the game in such a way in the beginning to say corporations can do this. And that's the pivot point. That's the fulcrum point. If we can go in and say, okay, here's the first rule of the game, and that is that the rules of the game will no longer be determined by corporations. They will be determined only by we the people and our elected representatives who can't take money from corporations. That's our starting point, and then we could level the playing field and come back to some sort of rational basis. But until that really very fundamental issue of corporations, of the rights of corporations as opposed to the responsibilities of corporations is solved, nothing is going to change. And WTO and GATT is just taking that from national to international. Now corporations not only claim the rights of humans in the United States, they claim the rights of nation states around the world. They can sue nations in courts that they run. And this is the rot at the core of modern democracies around the world.
I'm also interested in an earlier caller who mentioned something geonomics.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm unemployed, and I live in poverty. I have a truck, you know, that uses gas. I'm basically a glutton, even though I'm technically poor.
Right. Yeah. You're living light on the world, but still, as a citizen of the United States, we have a footprint.
Yeah, exactly, and that's just got to change. It's just not sustainable, and I don't enjoy all this gluttony.
Yeah, well, this is spot on, Mike, and thanks for the call. This is where, you know, Jimmy Carter started something that Ronald Reagan put a very quick end to, and Bill Clinton never had the courage to revive in any meaningful way. And that many of the candidates who are running for office now are talking about bringing back, and that is that if we were to, Dennis Kucinich, I think, has been the most outspoken and eloquent about this, and that is that if we were to create a program to make the United States energy independent within a decade or two, a Manhattan-style, Manhattan Project, you know, which built the bomb in a couple of years, a Manhattan Project-style project that would encourage, that would assist the same way that we assist the drug companies in developing pharmaceuticals, that would assist and encourage through tax incentives and outright grants and just, you know, all sorts of things, the development of alternative energies. We would make the world a cleaner place, a safer place. We'd reduce our dependence on the Middle East, on Middle Eastern oil. We wouldn't have to have our soldiers over in the Middle East to the extent that we have to have them there. That's a whole other argument. You know, in Iraq, where 10% of the world's oil is, protecting and staking out our territory next to Saudi Arabia, where another 10% is, and near all the Stan countries, where you got another 10 or 15%. We wouldn't have to be doing all that. And on top of all that, it would create millions of jobs. I mean, we would see an economic boom in the United States as a consequence of a true and serious investment in alternative energies that would be absolutely shocking, absolutely mind-boggling. It would make the dot-com boom look like you know, a blip. And in fact, apparently it was a blip. It was a balloon. It blew up and then it popped. But now the stock market's back above 10,000 again. How much of a balloon was it if we're right back, you know, into the midst of it? Or are we in another balloon? I don't think so. I think these are just economic cycles. This is how this thing goes. Anyhow, we've got a corporate, speaking on this subject, we have a corporate alert here. Have you seen the bigger pickies in their starched white shirts?
Bigger pickies staring at the dead. Always have clean shirts to play around with.
Yes, our Corporate alert. A lawsuit filed. This is from the BushGreenWatch.org, folks. A lawsuit filed last week asserts that the Bush administration is allowing a special task force from the chemical industry to lobby secretly and illegally inside the Environmental Protection Agency. The task force aims to circumvent current protections for endangered species. This, the task force being the lobbyists. If successful, they will make it easier for industry to gain approval for the use of certain pesticides. The industry strategy, according to internal documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, is to eliminate the role of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and NOAA Fisheries, whose biologists currently serve as oversight experts as to whether a pesticide poses a risk to wildlife. In other words, let me give you the picture on this. In other words, if these guys are successful, then the biologists and scientists at the Fish and Wildlife Service, when they start noticing die-offs as a result of pesticide contamination getting into our waterways, they will no longer be able to report it or do anything about it. They will no longer, their information won't make it to EPA. It appears that the industry is succeeding. Last year, the EPA, which has no measures in place to protect most endangered animals and plants, began a process whereby the agency could assume full control over these decisions with little or no oversight from federal biologists. An agency whose head is politically appointed. As Patty Goldman of Earth Justice, which filed this lawsuit back in January, or this January 15th, rather, said, quote, "It is contrary to our American values for the Bush administration to give the pesticide industry a secret insider role so they can weaken protections for endangered species. The industry task force includes Monsanto, DuPont, Ag Products, Dow AgroSciences, and Uniroyal Chemical Corporation. The group is known as the FIFRA, F-I-F-R-A, Endangered Species Task Force." What a great name.
Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dead. Always have clean sheds to play around with.
Our piggy alert for the day. The ACLU is very concerned about this. There's a new terror database out, and this is a story from the Associated Press by Brian Bergstein, the AP technology writer. A seven-state crime database launched with $12 million in federal funds, according to the ACLU, is a more powerful threat to privacy than its organizers acknowledge. This is called the multi-state, now get this, do the acronym in your head as I'm reading this, multi-state anti-terrorism information exchange, or MATRIX. They've created the MATRIX. But the ACLU and other privacy advocates allege, they say it's just an investigative tool, but the ACLU and privacy advocates allege that the program more closely resembles the scrapped Pentagon program known as the Total Information Awareness Program. So the TIPS program has become the Matrix. A Freedom of Information Act request filed with Pennsylvania yielded several documents that the ACLU says clearly show the Matrix's data mining abilities. Matrix lets states share criminal, prison, and vehicle information with each other and cross-reference it with up to 20 billion records in databases held by Sisint, Inc. This is, you know, these are your credit records. These include things like, you know, whether or not you own a boat, if you own property, if you have an internet domain, the history of the houses that you've lived in, what utilities you have and how much you pay for your utilities, whether you've ever filed bankruptcy, whether you've ever been in civil court, have you been divorced, are there any liens against you, how much money do you owe, voter registration, have you ever started a small business? All of that information now is available to 450 law enforcement agents in Connecticut, Florida, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Utah. Although not all those states are yet using the system, says this article. Several other states explored the program before dropping out because of concerns about privacy or the long-term cost, including Alabama, California, Georgia, Louisiana, Kentucky, Oregon, South Carolina, and Texas. The Matrix is here. my friends. The Matrix. Lieutenant General John M. Riggs. This guy is a three-star general, a decorated Vietnam veteran, and he's in charge of building an army for the future. Right? I mean, you know, his job is to think about what, you know, and put into place what the army should be. And he has taken on Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and said, basically, if you're going to do this stuff all over the world, if you want to be a warlord defense secretary, or George Bush wants to be a warlord president, we need more soldiers. He says, I've been in the Army 39 years, and I've never seen the Army as stretched in that 39 years as I have today. He said, it's not my intent to be provocative, but to be intellectually honest with my feelings on the strategy and commitments of the Army. And, you know, he's suggesting that the Army is too small to meet its global commitments and must be substantially increased. I'm telling you, after the election, if Bush wins the election, you're going to see a draft. And it's not going to be the kind of friendly draft that I actually think we should have, where people, at you know, without having to go through a whole song and dance about being Quakers, can do 1 year of service, you know, volunteering in hospitals or schools or something. It's going to be the old-fashioned Vietnam, you know, Arlo Guthrie, Alice's Restaurant draft all over again. And the National Guard, a good friend of ours joined the National Guard just before all this stuff happened, and he just got redeployed. It's absolutely crazy. The National Guard was put in place to guard the nation here, to domestically protect us. It's supposed to be like a reserve force in the event that we get attacked. And here we've got something like 40% of the soldiers in combat over there, National Guardsmen. It doesn't work. George. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. Straight to the heart of truth. We'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the prehistoric Limbaugh. We had a huge surplus and it's gone. We'll be running huge deficits from now on. There are big tax refunds for a few. The rich get richer and the poor get screwed.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on IE. Somebody called and asked about the report about bin Laden being captured. UPI had run this out of Berlin. It was on Interest Alert, interestalert.com. And then we found on news24.com, uproar over bin Laden, a joke that originated with Lebanese Broadcasting Corporation. So just don't know. Just don't know. Of course, you know, apparently Saddam had been captured for some time. I want to thank Steph Stryker for running the board and engineering our program today in Detroit. And Bill Vellner for his contribution this week. Brad Walrod for editing our music, and Louise Hartman for producing this program here in Vermont. And thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up. Phil in Florida is on the line. Phil, you got the last minute or so here of the show. What's on your mind?
I want to talk about the news blackout on Mr. Janklow.
He got 100 days of jail time. He'll have to serve 30 of them.
All he did is kill somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it turns out that this guy was a four-term Republican right-wing law and order governor who undoubtedly appointed the judge who gave him that little snap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is it's this issue, the fact that he is going to prison or jail is not on the Drudge Report. O'Reilly didn't mention it. Limbaugh didn't mention it. Hannity's not going to mention it. There's a real blackout on this issue.
No, and if this guy had been a Democrat, they'd be hoisting him from the rafters.
Oh, he'd be serving four life terms.
Yeah, or if he only got 30 days, everybody would be squealing about it. I mean, look at what they did with what's his name, the guy with the bad toupee.
Yeah, and consider this: You remember Cheech and Chong, the taller guy?
Yeah.
He got 9 months in prison for selling bombs over the internet.
Right.
And this guy gets 30 days for killing somebody.
Right. Our priorities are scrambled here in the United States, Phil. We just have to speak out about it and get politically active. Get politically active. Thanks, Phil, for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this week. Be sure and tune in next week, Monday, same time, same place. I'll see you here.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does holding the head have your...